Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Once again, it's a pleasure to welcome the Providence Singers to the show. Christine Noel is back. Welcome back, Christine.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. We have some new things in your life to talk about, as well as the Providence Singers. You're a new mom.
I am. I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl in February and am joyful about the changes taking place every day. It's really, really exciting to see her and watch her grow.
Well, it is a wonderful thing. I have a new granddaughter, and I can only imagine what you're going through, and along with getting a little sleep now and then would be a good thing, right?
Yes.
We're also joined today by Colette Royer, who is the new communications director for the Providence Singers. Welcome, Colette.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you with us, and we will be asking Colette things that, you know, maybe she doesn't know anything about yet. Just we'll try to stump her.
Likely. <you know. laughs>
Well, welcome to the position, and it's great to have you both here today, and we're going to find out what's new with the Providence Singers, as well as listen to some beautiful music that Christine has provided for us, and talk about the upcoming event in November, and what's the actual date and place, so we make sure we get all that straight.
So the concerts will be on November 7th and 8th. November 7th in the evening, that's a Saturday night, at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul in Providence. And Sunday, November 8th, at St. Mary's Church in Bristol.
All right. And tickets are available, I presume, through the website for the Providence Singers. And the website is?
Yes, the Providence Singers website is www.providencesingers.com. .org.
Wow, that's a tough one. ProvidenceSingers.org for the Providence Singers website. All right. Well, that's great. We'll talk about a little bit about the group and the size and so forth and what's new, but why don't we get to a piece of music? You brought some wonderful music with you, so let's start with the first track that you brought for us, Christine.
Sure. So a little bit of background. This is a track from Vivaldi's Gloria, and of course, Vivaldi is perhaps best known for his orchestral music, especially his concertos, which really really broadened his international reputation and distinguished him as a composer. Vivaldi spent a significant period, nearly 37 years, working as a teacher and composer at the Ospedale della Pietà, an orphanage in Venice.
Funny, I was going to mention that.
Where girls who exhibited high musical aptitude were given a world-class education in music. And Vivaldi wrote his Gloria and other sacred works at La Pietà. So the first selection that you'll hear is the opening movement of the Gloria, and it really functions as an overture. The chorus sings declamatory text, so they sing homophonically, where everyone, all of the parts move in the same rhythm, and this really sets up the material to follow. So this is Robert Shaw and the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus.
Thank you.
beautiful music that will be performed by the Providence Singers. We won't actually hear them singing today because it hasn't happened yet, and there are no recordings of that. But the place to be, St. Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul on November 7th, and taking this wonderful concert. Christine, let's get a little bit more background about the singers themselves, the age of the group. Is this a 20-year-old group, 50-year-old group?
The group really varies in age from singers in their early 20s through senior citizenhood.
Okay, I was actually referring to the age of the entire organization.
Oh, got it. Yeah. So we are currently in our 44th season.
Okay.
And it's a large chorus, 90 to 100 members.
Mm-hmm. 90 to 100 members. Well, that's difficult to manage. They probably don't meet in your living room. Where do you meet?
They don't. We actually, we are based in East Providence, and we rehearse at the Rhode Island Philharmonic Carter Center, which is home of the music school and the Rhode Island Philharmonic. It's a beautiful facility, and we're privileged to be able to rehearse there each week.
It is a great facility. As a matter of fact, I read something somewhere not too long ago that is the largest music school associated with an orchestra in the United States. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
That's what I read.
Wonderful.
Now, I should probably get more statistics, but I'm sure people will call me and email me if that's not correct. But we'll say for now that they are.
That's fine. Fine by me.
Fine by you. All right. So you did mention that you have lots of different age groups. Is it broken down by, 60% female and 40% male, roughly? Or?
I'd say that's about right. We have a strong and wonderful men's section. But I think, as with any chorus, there are always fewer tenors than there are of singers of any other voice part.
Right.
So, but we're doing well. It's a strong and thriving group.
Excellent. All right. Well, then let's get to this next piece of music that you brought.
So, one of the interesting things about the music that Vivaldi wrote at La Pietà was that these pieces were performed entirely by females. So girls who lived at the orphanage and women who remained there for their entire lives, who started out as young children or even babies. And so the pieces were performed by these girls and women who played and sang everything. They even sang the tenor and bass parts. And they also performed in a gallery in a loft, elevated above the audience. It was a paying audience, and of course they performed by candlelight. But they performed behind a curtain and behind a metal grate because they weren't allowed to be seen. And I find myself thinking about what that experience must have been like for listeners. You know, now with our contemporary audiences, we're so accustomed to also listening with our eyes. Mm-hmm. But they were just enveloped in this sound and were able to only make out silhouettes, if that, of the performers.
Wow. Well, it is. I mean, when you think of those days, you think mostly everything was male-orientated.
Sure.
And then here's the exact opposite.
Exactly right. All There's right. A wealth of music written specifically for these forces.
Hmm.
So the next selection is Laudamus Te. It's a duet for two sopranos. And in our performance, it will be sung by Elizabeth Kinder, who is a graduate of the Boston Conservatory, and she also she's a former member of the Junior Providence Singers, which is the educational outreach program of the Providence Singers. It's an outstanding opportunity for high school students. And she will be joined by Thea Lobo, who is a graduate of Boston Conservatory, and she's also a member of both the Handel and Haydn Society and Boston Baroque. They're outstanding singers, and I'm delighted to have them with us.
Gloria
Christine, we have a couple more short pieces, and I want to get into this segment, so I'm going to ask you to introduce each of them individually, starting with your next piece.
Sure. So next you'll hear Propter Magnam Gloriam, the fifth movement of Vivaldi's Gloria, which offers some imitative counterpoint. It's very brief. It lasts only 19 measures, but it does present some vocal challenges, particularly for a large chorus. And one of those challenges is articulating the rapid eighth notes in perfect rhythmic alignment. It's certainly easier for a smaller chorus to do, but one of the ongoing artistic pursuits of the Providence Singers is to be able to perform with the agility and the delicacy of a chamber choir. So you'll hear the Atlanta Symphony Chorus, which is another large symphonic chorus, perform it beautifully, albeit at a slightly slower tempo. The next movement, Domine Fili Unigenite, features a dotted rhythm that both unifies and drives the piece. When this particular rhythmic pattern appears in one of the vocal lines, it's always accompanied by a descending line in longer rhythmic values in another voice. In the B section, which always features new musical ideas, the chorus indeed presents new musical material, but the orchestra maintains this unifying rhythmic pattern. So this is Domine Fili Unigenite.
Thank you.
Christine. Before we take our first break, I'm going to ask you to sneak one more piece in before we go.
Okay, so the last excerpt we'll play from Vivaldi's Gloria is the final movement, Cum Sancto Spiritu, and this is a double fugue. That is a fugue with two different subjects that occur simultaneously, first heard in the bass of the chorus and in the soprano. The movement opens with chorus accompanied by continuo alone, but as the fugue unfolds, Vivaldi adds different instruments, which really gives it a sense of expansiveness and depth. And it's also a moment in the score that is really exciting for listeners and for performers alike. So the final movement of Vivaldi's Gloria, Cum Sancto Spiritu.
All right, we'll listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of the Providence Singers. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with the Providence Singers. Christine Noel, Artistic Director, is here, and Colette Royer, Communications Director. And Colette, we're going to go back to you for a moment, and just to remind everyone that the concert coming up is on November 7th in Providence at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. And that's a 7:30 concert on Saturday night. And then the next day, Sunday, November 8th, 3 o'clock, St. Mary's Church in Bristol. And if people would like information, they can call a phone number too, right?
Yes. Yes, Mike, they can call us at 401-751-5700.
And the difficult website is what?
Is www.providencesingers.org.
All right, there we go. See, we get, we're working Colette in here. She's, you know, she's new, but we'll get her. We'll get
she's
her started.
Great.
Next thing you know, she'll be telling us how old Bach was when he wrote something. Okay, let's get back to the music that's going to be performed. And Christine, tell us about this next segment.
So we move now to Bach's Cantata 140. Bach has over 200 surviving cantatas. Many of them were written between 1723 and 1750 during his years at Leipzig. And in his earliest years at Leipzig, Bach was expected to produce a cantata every week, sometimes more, depending on the demands of the liturgical calendar. Wow. So he certainly didn't have a lot of time to procrastinate. BWV 140 is known as a chorale cantata, and there are a number of defining features in the chorale cantata, but one of them is that the first movement is an elaborate chorale setting where a pre-existing hymn tune is set as a cantus firmus, which is a fixed melody around which the other parts are contrapuntally conceived. And Bach used Philippe Nicolai hymn tune, which was written in 1598, Wacht auf, of course, as the basis for Cantata 140. So you'll now hear the first movement of the cantata performed by the English Baroque soloists, John Elliott Gardner conducting.
Thank you.
Well, that piece being just a little bit longer than the others, we have time for one more in this segment. What will it be?
So this next excerpt from Cantata 140 needs very little introduction. This is Zion hört die Wächter singen. Zion hears the watchman singing. The fourth movement from Cantata 140.
We'll listen to that one and then take another short break and be back with more of the Providence Singers. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with the Providence Singers, represented by Christine Noel, Artistic Director, and Colette Royer, Communications Director. And Christine, you've been providing us with a lot of background about the music that will be played in the concerts on November 7th and 8th, and we want to continue along those lines, so what do you have for us next?
So The third work on our program is Mozart's Coronation Mass. It's a very popular mass setting written in 1779. Mozart did not name it the Coronation Mass. He named it the Mass in C, but it later acquired this nickname, probably after having been performed at several royal occasions at the Imperial Court of Vienna.
See, now I'm going to interrupt your train of thought. And I'm going to ask you, a lot of people ask me this all the time, why are things numbered versus named? Now, here we have something that's named and not numbered.
Well, all of Mozart's works are cataloged and can also be referred to by the catalog number, as we refer to Bach Cantata 140 by its catalog number. But I think more popularly, we're able to recognize the name over the catalog number.
Right, right. Well, that's why a lot of people ask me, well, why is everything numbered? I don't give it names. I don't, you know. Way down south in Dixie or something, whatever it's called. Probably not this one, though. See, now I've completely destroyed your train of thought.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
So next you'll hear the Gloria from Mozart's Coronation Mass, and this is the Handel and Haydn Society with Harry Christophers conducting.
Thank you.
Well, as usual, time flies by when we're having a good time, and I want to thank you, Christine, for coming in and telling us about the programs that are coming up.
Well, thank you.
It's nice to have you with us. And Colette, it was a pleasure to meet you. And before we let you go, we're going to ask you for a few more details, the date and place of both concerts, and website and phone number again.
Great. Thank you, Mike. So the concerts will be on November 7th at the Cathedral of St. Peter's and Paul in Providence at 7:30 p.m. And the concert on Sunday will be at 3 p.m. on November the 8th at St. Mary's Church in Bristol. And we do have group, senior, and student discounts available. You can call for details at our office at 401-751-5700, or information is available on our website at www.providencesingers.org.
Great, great. Okay, so everything you want to know is on the website. Check it out, and make sure you attend on November 7th or 8th, or make a weekend of it and do both. There you go. You can get to see Providence and Bristol. Christine, what are we going to close with?
Well, I'd just like to say that the Providence Singers will be joined by a chamber orchestra on this program and four soloists. So Elizabeth Kinder, soprano, Thea Lobo, mezzo-soprano, Greg Zavracki, tenor, and Nicholas LaRoche, baritone.
Excellent.
And they're fantastic.
Right.
So the final selection that we'll share today is the Agnus Dei from Mozart's Coronation Mass. It opens with a serenely beautiful soprano solo, culminating in a triumphant Dona Nobis Pacem for chorus with material from the opening Kyrie.
Great. Thank you both. And for the rest of our audience, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.